right, LifePoint Church, how's everybody doing today? Yeah, all right, I'll take that, I guess. It's good to see you all this morning. Thank you all for being here, especially during March Madness. As I walked into church this morning, I've been threatened multiple times by several Louisville fans, which, you know, are the only blessed fan, you know, in the church today. But I've been threatened, so I will just get to it, because we got a lot to talk about, and I know that doesn't make a lot of people very happy, but hey, get your priorities straight. I'll pray for you. So, Louisville's going, they're going to do well today. I believe it. So it's going to be good times. Kentucky, no one really cares. So anyways, today we are starting a new four-week message series that's going to lead us into Easter, but this message series is called Lost Virtues. And what we're going to be doing in this series is we're going to explore four different virtues that we see throughout Scripture that every single one of us as Christ followers are called to live out in our lives. He said, let there be light. And there was light. See that? It was impressive. But we're called to live out these virtues in our lives as Christ followers. We see it in Scripture. It's not something that I'm saying that you need to do or, you know, that the church says you need to do. It's in Scripture. So it's what God has called us to do. And these virtues that we're going to look at have somewhat been lost in our culture today. They've been lost in our culture, in our families, in our relationships, in our friendships, in our churches, just in our lives in general. These virtues have been lost. And my hope through this 4 weeks is that that this series will kind of act as a catalyst to reignite those virtues in your life so that you begin to press play on them. You begin to implement them in your life. And as you do that, you will then be able to be all that God has created you to be, all that he's called you to be. And then as a church, if we all are doing that, then our church can be on mission, right? And then we can reach people and we can do all that God has called us to do as a church every single day of our lives. But we have to be looking at these things. We have to look at Scripture and see how God instructs us to live and then run with that. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about the lost virtues of loyalty, integrity, gratitude. But today we're going to be talking about the lost virtue of honor. We'll talk about honor. And in our culture today, how many of you would agree, especially in America, that honor is something that has been lost? How many of you would agree with that? I put my hand up on that. I think it's something that's been lost. It's something that we really don't pay much attention to, nor do we really care about in our lives and just every aspect that in our day-to-day. There's just not a lot of honor. For example, if you're planning to travel out of the country and go to a different culture, it is critical that you do some research to find out how you honor people in that culture so that you make sure that you don't dishonor them by accident, by not doing something right or doing something that you shouldn't have. It's important to do that. For example, if you go to Korea, when you meet someone kind of in an informal setting, it's honoring to slightly nod or to slightly bow to them. But the more formal of a setting or more important the person you're meeting, you'll bow deeper. The deeper that you bow, the more respect and honor you're showing. And you need to know those type of things because they take honor very seriously and dishonor very seriously. In Japan, you don't want to make eye contact with people for extended periods of time. They think that's rude. They view that to be rude and sometimes as an aggressive act. To where, you know, in America, we teach make good eye contact with people, and that's a sign of respect. It's quite the opposite. So you have to know those things. And then in France, if you give someone the okay symbol, you're not saying okay. You know, you're basically telling them that they're worthless and insignificant. And you know, see, these are important things because different cultures and different countries take honor very seriously. But if someone was going, traveling into the States here, I really don't know if it really matters if they know what's going on as it relates to honor, because it's just not really important in our culture today. And that's sad, because honor is an incredibly powerful and important thing. And we need to implement and display honor in our lives to the people around us. And most importantly, we need to be honoring God, because it's powerful. So we have to rediscover it, right? And we have to embrace honor in our lives. So to explore this a little bit further, I want us to check out six verses, the first six verses of Mark 6. And I want us to look at the effect that dishonor had on Jesus as he was returning to his hometown. So to give you a little context there, he was basically returning to his hometown. He had been run out, actually threatened with his life by the people of his town. So he left. And while he was gone for about a year. And while he was gone, he was kind of on this just preaching tour kind of thing. He was traveling around. He was sharing the word of God with people. He was encouraging people. He was doing miracles. He turned water into wine, right? He raised people from the dead. He healed the sick. He fed like thousands and thousands of people with five loaves of bread and two fish. Like he was doing all these incredible things. He was out there doing that. And then when he returned home, we see that he didn't really get the homecoming that one would have thought for someone that was doing such amazing things. So let's go ahead and read Mark chapter 6. We're going to start off in verse 1. It's going to be up on the screen here, so check it out. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that he's been given? What are these remarkable miracles he's performing? I mean, they're basically saying, like, man, who is this guy? Like, he's doing these incredible things. He's got such great wisdom. He's got such good words. He's doing all these miracles and these powerful, powerful things. Like, who is he? What's going on? And then someone in verse 3 says, isn't this the carpenter, right? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Like, aren't his sisters here with us? And then it says they took offense at him. They're like, you know, this is that ordinary guy we grew up with. He's just an ordinary dude. Like, that's the guy that made your mom's kitchen table, right? And I think you hung out with his sisters the other night. Right? He's just an ordinary guy. And they took offense to it. They devalued him. They devalued what he was bringing, the good words that he was sharing. At first, they were amazed at it, but then they began to decline, and it says they took offense at him. And then in verse 4, Jesus says to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He was being dishonored in his hometown, and it had a powerful, powerful effect on him. The Greek word that translates as without honor here in this verse is atimos, which means to dishonor, to despise, or to treat as common and ordinary. They were treating him just as a common dude, just an ordinary guy. So when you think about it in those terms, like bring it into our lives. If you want just a common and ordinary marriage or relationship, man, you just dishonor your spouse. Right? If you just want it to be ordinary and common or a common relationship, you just dishonor people. That's why so many times when you see a relationship that's just started or a new marriage that it's exciting, it's powerful, there's a lot of love there. And it's because people are honoring each other. Right? They're loving, they're encouraging each other, they're speaking words of love and affirmation. Right? They have fun together. They do things. They do almost anything to make that person feel loved and special. That's how most relationships start. But then, you know, you get married, honeymoon's over, you get 2, 3, 5, 7 years down the road, and then it starts to become ordinary, becomes common, and we start to dishonor one another, right? And that marriage that was once, or that relationship that was once powerful and strong and loving becomes common and ordinary. Because the honor has been lost. It's dishonor. All right? But on the flip side, we see that there's the word honor. The Greek word for this is timē, which means to value, right? To respect, to highly esteem, to honor. And that's what we want in our lives. That's what we want in our relationships and our marriages, right? We need to honor, to view as valuable. What once was maybe ordinary needs to be honored, which means that it's valuable. A quick example of this is I have a baseball at home that you know, really is just a common ordinary baseball. It's just a baseball. There's nothing special about the baseball itself. But I ascribe a lot of value to this ball because Hall of Famer Ken Griffey Jr. has signed it. But in reality, it's just a baseball. But I've ascribed value to it, and I honor that ball because of someone's name being signed on it. You know, I've got a bag full of baseballs just like it out in the garage from where I coached Sawyer's baseball team last year. And, you know, they're just stored in the garage in a bag, you know. And if me and Sawyer were outside throwing baseball and, you know, he happened to throw one over the fence or whatever it was, I probably wouldn't put the effort in to, you know, walk around and get into the neighbor's backyard to get the baseball just because it's a common baseball. It's ordinary. Not a big deal. I have no honor for that ball. It's just common. But that Ken Griffey Jr. autographed baseball, same thing, it's just a baseball. But that sucker's sitting on my dresser in a UV ray protective case, right? And if my kids even look at it, I'm like, back up. Because I've ascribed value to that baseball based on the fact that somebody has signed it. That ball is highly regarded. It's esteemed in my house, right? So honor, it respects, it values, it lifts up. But dishonor devalues, it tears down, it disrespects, it devalues, despises. So to honor someone is to believe the very best about them. And not only to believe that, but to make them feel the very best about them. But dishonor is the opposite. It's to think the worst of them and to tear them down. And we want to be honoring to the people in our lives. I know some of you may say, you know what, that's great, but this person in my life, man, I can't really honor them because they're not an honorable person. Like, I get that. Like, I feel that way about some people, to be honest with you. But I want to challenge that thought process a little bit because I want you to understand that respect is earned, right? Respect is something to be earned, but honor is given. Honor is something that is freely given. Even if that person may not be living honorably, we are called to honor certain people in our lives. And we can do that because of their position or because God just says, honor this person. And you never know that you showing that person honor may be the very thing that is going to lead them into start living an honorable life. It may be the thing that empowers them to start living a different way because you show them honor, even when they probably didn't deserve it. But we're going to honor people. We're going to honor them. We're going to respect them. We're going to value the people that are around us. And again, honor is a powerful, powerful thing. As we read on in Mark chapter 6, we see just how powerful dishonor can be. See, when Jesus, right after he said only in his hometown is a prophet without honor, the very next verse, which is verse 5, it says this. It says, and he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. I want you to catch this. Notice this. It says, it doesn't say that he wouldn't do mighty works. It says he could do no mighty works. And to be honest, like when I read this and I try to understand, like I really don't understand this fully. I'll be honest, like I don't 100% get this, but it really appears to be that because of a lack of honor and disbelief of the people that were around him, that he couldn't do all the same things that he did when he was around people and with people that honored him and believed in him. Like I said, I don't fully understand that, but that's the way, when I read that, that's what it appears to be. That honor is a powerful, powerful thing that we have to pay attention to. So with that being said, how do we rediscover and restore honor in our lives? Like how do we flip this over and start to look at this from a practical standpoint? And what I want to do is I think a perfect first steps of this is to really look through scripture and see who it is specifically that God says that we're supposed to honor. So that's what we're going to do for the next little bit is we're going to look at three primary groups of people that God says that we are to honor. And if you look through scripture, there's a lot more than three. But again, I'm on a time frame because you all are not spiritual and you care more about basketball than God's word. Good point. I want you to pay attention to point number three here in a minute. I'm coming for you. I'm just kidding. So, but we're going to look at three different groups of people that according to Scripture, we are supposed and we're called to honor. So the first group that we're going to look at is one that probably you're all already thinking of. I mean, it's very well known if you've been in church or around church or, you know anything about really anything, you're going to know this one. And the first group that we're called to honor is our parents, right? I mean, the Ten Commandments. It's one of the Ten Commandments. We see in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, it says this. It says, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. See, we are called to honor our mothers and our fathers. And if you paid attention to the world around you at any point in time, you'll quickly realize that this is a lost virtue. If you go out to the store or the restaurant or school events or the, you know, mall or wherever it may be, or watch TV, you'll see it on shows and movies, you'll see a culture of kids, teenagers, and young adults that dishonor their parents. You see it all over the place. There is a lack of honor for our parents. Now, say what you want, but in the Driscoll household, I expect Amelia and Sawyer to answer yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And I don't do that because I'm on like some crazy power trip, and I don't, you know, it's not, you know, like, you know, they ask for one little thing, and but when it's a serious conversation, that's what I'm expecting of them because I'm trying to teach them honor. It's important. When I respond to my boss at work, I say, yes, sir, even though he doesn't really want me to, you know, but I do because that's showing honor. And we're to do that to our parents, to our mothers and our fathers. We're supposed to show honor. And a lot of times when we think about honor your father and mother, we quickly think of kids, right, that they should do that. But we forget the fact that in our 20s and our 30s, our 40s, our 50s, and our 60s, we are still called to honor our fathers and our mothers. And I think that's something that we have to improve on. You know, we have to speak positively over our parents when our kids are around or to our kids and to them. We need to take care of them. We need to look out for them. We need to encourage them. We have to honor and respect our parents. It's something that God commands us to do. And again, you may be thinking and feeling like, you know, that's great, but you don't know my parents. And they don't live an honorable life. Or maybe they used to live an honorable life, but they don't anymore. Again, respect is something to be earned, but honor is something that we are called to give. And you need to honor your parents. God commands it. It's not Andy saying that. That's in Scripture. We see that. It's critical. And we have to honor our parents. The second group that we see in Scripture is that we are called to show honor to those in authority. The people that God has placed in your life as authority, you are to show them honor. Romans 13, verse 7 says this. It says, give to anyone what you owe them. If you owe them taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. And if honor, then honor. If you owe somebody honor, you are to honor them. That simple. We're to honor them. Honor those people that God has placed in your lives as authority. I saw a perfect example of this past week. My company that I work for right down the road, You Spiritus, they had their annual fundraiser breakfast. It's called Renew the Spirit Breakfast, and it's a big ordeal. A lot of people come, and in attendance at this event this past week was Kentucky's Attorney General, Andy Beshear. He spoke, and Kentucky's First Lady, Glenna Bevins, she was there as well. She didn't speak, but she, of course, had the front table and, you know, Secret Service in the back. You know, very intimidating. But they were there. And regardless of the fact that there were several people in the gym that did not necessarily agree or respect their political views, their values, the way that they're operating. They just didn't agree with them. Maybe they don't even like them. But I can tell you, every single person in that gymnasium in this event showed them honor and respected them. When Andy Beshear got up and spoke, when he walked up there, everyone stood and clapped. It was a sign of honor. for his position of authority. You know, when they shook hands with him, they said, "It's an honor to meet you." And I think they really meant that. Again, whether you like them or not, or agree with them or not, they're in a position of authority and they showed them honor. It's an honor to have you come to our event. It's an honor to have you speak. We show them honor because of their place of authority. So if you're a student, right? You're a student, your teacher is an authority over you, and so you need to honor your teacher. Man, that would be a novel concept for all of our teachers today. We got a lot of teachers that come to church here, and I know they would appreciate that. Even a glimpse of honor, right? But we're to honor those people in authority. If you have a job, you are called to honor your boss. Even if they're not an honorable boss. I've had several of those. And it was not easy to honor them. And I didn't always honor them. But I should have. But we're to honor those people that are in authority. Even if your boss is a terrible leader, and you know more about the industry and the business than they do, or how to operate, you need to show them honor. Because again, you don't know that maybe the honor that you show them may empower them and lift them up and encourage them to be the leader that they need to be. Which is honestly a positive outcome for you and for your job and for your career. So we need to show them honor. The people that are in authority were called to do that. The third group that we see in Scripture is that we are called to honor our pastors and our church leaders. I like that, right? Came back to point number three. See that? See what I did there? But seriously, no, we're called to honor our pastors and our church leaders. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 says, "The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching." So this is obviously kind of awkward for me to come up here and teach that piece. You know, I'm not on some weird power trip or anything like that, quite the opposite. But this is what Scripture says. This is God's command, that we are to honor those people that are in spiritual authority in your life, that are discipling you, that are speaking life into you, that you are to honor those people. Now, I'm 34 years old, and I've been in the church pretty much for 34 years. And I've been at several churches where the church leadership and the pastors were honored. And I've been in several churches, unfortunately, where the church leaders and the pastors were dishonored constantly. And just to be blunt, the churches that dishonored their church leadership and their pastors, they were unhealthy, they were unloving, and many times they were just nasty environments to be in. They were not good places. They were toxic. Somewhere that I don't ever want to be honest. It's the reason why a lot of people don't come to church and will push away at church and will push away at God as a result because of the people in the churches, because they're dishonoring. And God won't bless that. Those churches were not on mission. Those churches were not reaching people. Those churches were not loving people outside the church, people within the church. I mean, how can you expect someone to go fulfill the Great Commission and share the good news of Christ when they're dishonoring of everybody inside the walls? We are to honor those people that are in spiritual authority of our life. That's one of the reasons why I love being here at LifePoint Church. I'm so thankful to lead here because this church is so honoring to the church leaders of this church. Honoring to me. Probably in times when I didn't deserve honor, people were honoring. And that is just incredible. And when I think about that, it really makes me start to think of the words in that scripture that I just read. It says, "The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor." And that's a heavy burden that myself and our leadership team and our staff carry, is that we are responsible for leading this church, but also leading it well. And that's a responsibility that I know 100% that I cannot do on my own. That our leadership team can't do either. That we have to tap into God's power and his direction in order to lead this church well. And because of people within these walls honoring each other and honoring the leadership staff, that's what allows us to continue to push on. Because we're all in this together. We're in a journey together. And we honor each other. We respect each other. We value each other. It's critical. It's a powerful, powerful thing to display honor. But unfortunately, it is so deficient in our culture today. So obviously, you know, week one of this series, I want you to begin to embrace your calling to honor your parents, right? To honor those in authority and to honor the pastors and the church leaders. But I also want to challenge you with the words found in Romans chapter 12, verse 10. And then scripture says this. It says, love one another with brotherly affection. Pause right there. That's a whole nother message for a whole nother day. We need to be loving people. That was for free. Second part of this verse is outdo one another in showing honor. Not just show honor, but outdo one another in showing honor. That's your challenge today. So scripture is challenging you to do that. So today, if you have kids that are out there in the kids ministry, there are people that are volunteering their time to speak life into your children, to spiritually invest in your children, and giving of their energy and their time to care for your kids. So you need to honor them. Show them honor. Get to know them. Know their names, right? Write them a thank you card or just say thank you. I appreciate what you do back there. Or bring them a cup of coffee because you know, or a gift card to Starbucks because you know your kid and you know they're going to need a little extra caffeine that morning, right? That's where I'm at. But you do something to show them honor. Honor those people. Outdo them in showing honor. Show honor to the volunteers that serve here every week, right? For the people that greeted you as you walked in the door. To the team that was up here leading you in worship. To the tech team back there that shows up early to get everything going, getting ready to go, right? To the people that are preparing and bring the coffee and the snacks and all that good stuff out there in the cafe area. Honor those people. Show honor. Outdo them in honor. If you want, again, a great marriage and a relationship, make it a point to outdo each other in showing each other honor. Like, I'm a competitive person, right? You know, I'm gonna want to win at everything I do, regardless of how small or stupid it is. Like, I'm going to win. And if not, I'll probably have bad attitude and pout or spout off at the mouth and you'll think I'm unholy and be like, don't honor that guy. He's crazy. But I'm competitive. But think about it that way. Show each other honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. And man, your marriage and your relationship's going to take off. Outdo one another in showing honor. So to kind of lead, I guess, by example here, I want to publicly honor some people this morning. To show them honor and how much I appreciate them. So first, obviously, I want to start off by publicly honoring my wife, Jen. Even though she is wearing that terrible hoodie, I honor and love her. But I honor her because she prays for me, right? She speaks life into me. She loves me when I'm unlovable, right? She's always there for me. She encourages me. She challenges me and calls me on my crap when I need to hear it in a very healthy and loving way, a way that I'm going to receive it. She loves this church. She loves the people here. She loves our family. She works hard for our family, and she's an incredible mother. And for all those reasons, I honor her and love her for that. I want to honor our lead team, our staff, and our volunteers here at LifePoint Church. Like, you all have no idea how hard these people work because they're passionate about the mission. I want to honor their families for allowing them to take time away to do that. Some of these volunteers have been leading for 10 years. This church has been going for 10 years. We have people in this room right now that were a part of the original launch team and was serving from day one on the team, and are continuing to serve just at the same capacity, if not harder and better. It's an incredible group of people, and I honor them for what they do. I want to honor Daniel Henderson, our associate pastor. This dude is a straight workhorse for this church. Like, I have to, like, try to slow him down to keep up, because the dude's always on a run with some new, crazy, innovative something. But, man, his passion is incredible. It's contagious. It's infectious. He has a servant's heart, and man, he loves this church. And what he's doing right now back in that kids ministry, man, I honor him for that. He has stepped in, and he has taken off with it. If you don't have kids, check out when you walk to the bathroom or whatever. Look at that place back there. It looks incredible. And they are working because he's passionate about that, and I honor him for that. I honor him for the encouragement that he gives to me. And the fact that he has to put up with me is you know, deserving of honor in of itself. But I honor Daniel. I honor each of you here at LifePoint for being here, for being doing this journey with us, to doing life with us here at LifePoint Church. Man, I honor you for that, for being on mission and helping people to discover Jesus and then go be Jesus, to create an environment where everyone is loved, welcomed, and changed. I honor you for that. It doesn't go unnoticed, for taking an active role in what God is doing here. And then ultimately, man, I honor God. Most importantly, I honor God. He's my creator. He's my sustainer. He's my everything. I mean, if I didn't have him, I have nothing. Nothing. And am nothing. I mean, I honor Christ, Jesus, perfect Son of God, who gave his life for me, took my rightful place on the cross, shed his blood and rose again so that I could be made right before God, so that I could be forgiven. And he extends his mercy and his grace and his love for me every single day. And again, I don't even deserve an ounce of it. I honor God for those things. I honor him for who he is and what he's doing in my life. The fact that he's forgiven me, that's a tall task right there. And I honor him for those things. We need to make it a point every single day of our lives to show honor, to outdo one another in showing honor. We have to become a culture of honor. We have to be a church that is honoring. I think about why is it that our culture and our society has lost the virtue of honor. And I think one of the primary reasons that people are lacking honor is because people aren't honoring God. And I know that sounds super churchy and all those type of things, but really, people aren't honoring God. And he is the foundation of everything. And if we're not honoring God, how in the world can we honor anybody else? Psalms 22:23 says this. It says, "You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel." We are to praise and honor and revere God. We're to honor him because he's worthy. First and foremost, we are to honor God. But yet we live in a culture and a society that is dishonoring to God. Primarily just because we treat God as ordinary. We treat God as common. Right? He's the big man upstairs. Right? I'm not really a super, you know, religious, you know, wordy kind of person. But seriously, think about that. I mean, when you minimize God to just being the big man upstairs, treating him as common, as ordinary, it's dishonoring. 6 pounds, 8 ounce, baby Jesus, you know what I'm saying? Baby Jesus is my favorite, you know? But I mean, even think about it. I mean, we're talking about the King of Kings, the powerful Lord of Lords, right? The one who created all things, the one who like I said, took our place on the cross, died and shed his blood for us. That's who we're talking about. We're talking about the coming King. And when he comes back, he's not coming back as sweet little baby Jesus. He's coming back with power. He's coming back with a sword, man. He's coming back powerfully. He's worthy of all praise, worthy of all glory. He's worthy of all honor. And we have to stop viewing him as ordinary and common. And we need to begin to show him honor. And as we begin to show him honor, then we can't do anything else but then to begin to honor everyone else around us, right? Because it's him that's living in and through us. So this is how this progression goes. But we first have to start with honoring God. And just like my ordinary baseball, right? It's just an ordinary baseball. But because King Griffey Jr. autographed it, therefore it's valuable to me. It's valuable. What was once ordinary is now highly esteemed and valuable and worthy of honor. Just like that baseball, Those of you who are followers of Christ, who have accepted Christ as your Savior, you too were once ordinary, but are no longer ordinary, but you're valuable because God's name is written on your heart. And we have to embrace that. And we have to claim that in our lives. And then we have to begin to live as honoring people. And we have to first and foremost honor God. I mean, it's the only reasonable response to that, right? Is to honor him with our whole lives. Not just with our words, but with our lives. Isaiah 29:13 says, the Lord says that these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Man, don't be somebody that just honors God with your lips and your words, but your life doesn't reflect anything that has to do with God. We've got enough of that. Trust me, we have plenty. Just get on Facebook. You know, if you all see all those Facebook religious gangsters out there that wants to throw fire at everybody else, but their lives are a mess. We live it out with our lives. We honor God with our life and how we live and how we conduct ourselves and what we choose to do. Be honoring. He's worthy of all praise, all glory, and all honor. And when we know who he is, we will begin to honor him. And as we do that, that's how we begin to rediscover the lost virtue of honor. Let's pray. God, we just thank you, Lord, for who you are. God, we honor you and we lift your name on high, God, in this place today. We honor you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy and your love. For the fact that you loved us so much that you sent your son to die for us. Shed his blood and raise again so that we can be forgiven, so that we can be made right before you and be in relationship with you, God. I'm so incredibly thankful for that, and we honor you for that this morning. And may we, as LifePoint Church and as individuals, be people that first and foremost honor you in everything that we say and do. And that we as a church will be a church that is honoring. As we continue in prayer this morning, maybe you're here today and all that sounds great, whatever, but you've never really stepped over that line of faith. You've never come to know Christ as your Savior. You've been keeping God at arm's reach for far too long, for whatever reason. But this morning, I want to tell you that, man, that he loves you, that he's there for you. And he's worthy of all honor and all praise and all glory. And what's incredible is he's so good and he's so incredible, and yet he wants to be in a relationship with you. Man, that's powerful. I mean, it was for me. And there's no way that I'm deserving of that. But the fact that he loves me and gave his life for me is just powerful. And it's the same thing for you. He wants to be in a relationship with you. He loves you. He's crazy about you. Scripture says that if you confess with your mouth that he is Lord and you believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, you will be saved. It's not the prayer. It's not some magic words. It's not anything like that. It's your heart just being poured out to God and say, God, here I am and I need you. So this morning, if that's where you're at and you're ready to step over that line of faith, just call out to God with however he leads. Understanding that what Scripture says, if you call on his name, that you will be saved. So call on his name this morning. And if for some reason you don't know what to say or you're intimidated by prayer or whatever, just say something. Say something like, God, I believe you are who you say you are. And I believe you died on the cross and rose again for me so that I could be forgiven. And I honor you for that. God, I confess that I have flaws and that I'm not perfect. And that I'm in desperate need of a Savior. And God, I'm asking you this morning to be my Savior, to save me, to be my everything, you and only you. And if that was your prayer, if those were your words and was your cry to God this morning, man, I'm telling you, in that moment, Scripture says that you are a new creation, that the old has passed away, and behold, all things are new. Man, if you did, that's the most incredible decision that you'll ever make. At that very moment, you are now connected with Christ, and nothing can take you away from that. Nothing. And if that was your decision this morning, man, I challenge you and encourage you to either write that on a connection card or come talk to me. We just want to know how to celebrate with you, know how to kind of walk beside you as you begin this new journey with Christ. We want to do life with you. But maybe you're here this morning and you're a Christ follower, and you've maybe been in the church for a while, and you've just lost the whole virtue of honor. You're not honoring to your parents. You're not honoring to authority. You're not honoring to the church. You're not honoring to yourself. May today be the start of something new. Reclaim that virtue of honor. Begin to show honor, and it first starts by honoring God. Give honor where it's due. Start from there. Start from there. God, again, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, God. God, I pray for each and every person in here this morning, God, that you would speak truth over them. You'd speak life into them. God, that they would feel your presence. God, and as a result, that their only response would be to honor you with their lives. God, may I do the same. And God, may you just speak into the lives of those who are here. God, whatever it is that they need to hear, even if it has absolutely nothing to do with what was said this morning, God, that's beautiful. I pray that you would do what only you can do, God. God, I thank you for this church. God, I honor the people that are here, Lord. I'm so incredibly thankful for the people of this church and the fact that you choose all of us in here today to be able to be on mission, and you entrust us with your truth. God, we're so thankful for that. In your name we pray. Amen.